It's more than we deserve. It is truly something greater than we can possibly imagine. But what happens when grace and forgiveness collide? I want to tell you a story. There was once this pastor and this music minister who, they got in a little bit of an argument, and they didn't like each other too much. And unfortunately, that relationship spilled over into their time of worship. So the first week, the pastor, he thought, man, I'm going to kind of put the music minister in his place, okay? So he preached a sermon on commitment and how we should all dedicate ourselves to the service of God. So the music minister led the song, I Shall Not Be Moved. Second week, the pastor decided to preach on tithing and how we should all gladly give to the work of the Lord. And the director led the song, Jesus Paid It All. The third week, the pastor preached on gossiping. Now we should all watch our tongues. So the music director led the song, I Love to Tell the Story. With all this going on, the pastor became very disgusted over the situation. And the following Sunday, he told the congregation that he was considering resigning. So the musician led the song, Oh, Why Not Tonight? And so it came to pass that the pastor did indeed resign. And the next week, he informed the church that it was Jesus who led him there. And it was Jesus who was taking him away. And so the choir director led that famous song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. How do you show grace with someone you don't get along with? How do you show forgiveness to someone who's wronged you but you don't like them? How do you mix grace and forgiveness that what God has given to you, that He calls you freely to give to others, when you just don't want to? Or it's the hardest thing you've ever had to do. That's Peter's dilemma. Today in Matthew chapter 18, Peter comes up to Jesus and he asks him this really powerful question. He says, Lord, let me read it to you. Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Is seven enough? I mean, he asked a very legitimate question, right? And you got to kind of understand the context of the question. Jesus has just spent some time teaching on the nature of forgiveness and how it works. And so now, Peter's wrestling with the question, well, yeah, we're going to live as a church. And guess what? When people in the church get together, it's a room full of sinners. And when that happens, naturally, people are going to clash. People are going to disagree. Temperaments could flare. Personalities could get in the way. Ideas are going to clash. And quite frankly, we're just stubborn sheep. And so we sin against each other. And Peter's got this question. How long do I have to put up with people? Okay? Some of you are thinking the same thing. How long do I have to put up with certain people, right? How many times do I have to literally forgive them? Do I really have to show them grace? So he asked the Lord this question. Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? Now let's talk about that word forgiveness for just a moment. The word forgive means to release, to let go of, to cancel a debt that somebody owes you, okay? And so Peter's asking the question, how many times do I have to do this? See, God's grace is best seen in forgiveness. God shows you kindness by forgiving a debt that you owe to Him. God shows you grace by canceling out something that you don't, that you haven't deserved or earned. Okay? I mean, you've earned your sin and you deserve the punishment of your sin, but He cancels that out and you don't deserve that. The Bible puts it this way. It's kind of like taking white out and blotting out all of the stains of your life, your mistakes and failures, your frustrations and your doubts, and He just stains them out. You haven't earned that. You don't deserve that. He does that freely for you, and that's grace. It's kind of the opposite, right, of what I heard from a young married couple recently. This young married couple had some really sharp disagreements. None of you married couples have ever had sharp disagreements before, right?
No.
Never happens, right? So anyway, this young married couple had these sharp disagreements, right? And the wife would never lose her cool with the husband. And one day, finally, the husband says, why is it that when we disagree, you never lose it? You never lose your cool. You always stay calm and collected. And she said this, it's because I go clean the toilets in the bathroom. And the husband looked at her and said, you go clean the toilets in the bathroom. How does that help you stay calm, cool, and collected? And she goes, I use your toothbrush. That's not exactly forgiveness, is it, Zach? Sounds a little more like retribution, right? When God forgives, it's something quite different than that. When God forgives, He cancels the debt. It's like if you had a mortgage on your house and God goes in and says, listen, I'm going to completely cancel your mortgage 100% and you don't owe anything. That's forgiveness. Some of you go, please do that tomorrow, right? That's forgiveness. And in context of our relation with God, it revolves around the forgiveness of sins that we have, which Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away our sins, He forgives them completely. And what happens is when you forgive someone, check this out. When you forgive someone, this is what you're saying. I am releasing my anger towards you. Okay? I'm releasing my frustration towards you. I'm releasing my right to get revenge on you. I'm releasing all of, instead of getting back at you, I will let that go. When I forgive you, I am no longer keeping a record of all of our wrongs in this relationship. That is forgiveness. And that's how forgiveness works. Works in my life and in your life. Okay? We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. But God says it's freely given to you today. And that is the blessing. And so Peter, okay? So Peter is kind of speaking up for his fellow Christians. You ever been in a room and you wish somebody to ask a question? Right? You know, you're kind of like, you're listening and all of a sudden you have this question, but you're too afraid to ask it. You ever had that moment? Peter, he doesn't worry about that too much, okay? He'll just ask the question, okay? So he looks at Jesus and says, Jesus, listen, man, I have been with these guys for 3 years now. How long do I have to put up with them? And their sin. Seven? Seven sounds pretty good. Jewish law said you only had to do it three times. Three plus three plus one equals seven. Seven's a perfect number in God's world. You know, 7 days of creation. How about seven, Jesus? Is that enough? And Jesus looks at Peter and says this. Listen, Peter. Not just seven times, but 77. Some translations have 70 times seven, 490. Doesn't matter if it's 77 or 490. Jesus' point is simple. Forgiveness and grace are unlimited. There is no limits. There is no bounds when it comes to forgiveness and grace. Because when we love someone and when we forgive someone, it keeps no records of wrong. It's patient. It's enduring, right? And what Jesus wants to do is then tell a story. To convey the point, to get the message across. And Jesus does this great job with these stories. Calls them parables because they have a really profound meaning. So I want to tell you the parable and then I want to get at the message of the parable. And here's the parable. Here's how it goes. Jesus says, this is the way that the kingdom of God is like. This is how God's world works. He says, we all have accounts that must be settled. I've got an account. You got an account. We all have an account. And here's the deal. When you meet your king, you have a choice to make. Either God settles the account or Jesus settles the account. Now, if you want to settle the account on your own terms, let me just tell you, it's not going to work out so well for you. If you have to stand before the king and settle everything up yourself on your terms and your merit and your strength and ability, guess what? It's not going to work out too well. But if you let Jesus settle the account, and do it on His terms, then there's a blessing to have. And so Jesus says that there's this king, and he's got this account, and he's going to settle it with his servants, right? Which you and I are. And so he began the settlement. And there's a man who owed him, check this out, 10,000 talents. I'll get to that in just a moment. He was brought to him. And since no one was able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, and all that were to be sold, to repay the debt. So the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me. He said, I beg you, be patient with me. I will pay everything back. You ever had to get on the phone with somebody, a creditor, because you were behind on something, and ask them to be patient with you, and you promise them, I will pay it back. That's what's happening here. And here's what happens. The king looks at him and has this incredible mercy on him and shows incredible patience with him. And he says, listen, I will forgive the debt completely. You walk out of here clear and free. You know what's really interesting? He doesn't tell the guy, listen, okay, let's set up some payment plans. We'll put you on this kind of chart with this amount of interest, and this is what you'll pay each month to get out of debt. No. He says this, I will pay it in full completely. And the guy leaves. The guy leaves. Now, I looked it up last night, and I just want to give you a little perspective here. What is 10,000 talents? It's this. It would take you working a normal job, like at Walmart, at $8 an hour, $9 an hour, whatever you get paid. It would take you 60 million days to pay that off. Everybody get that in your head for a minute? It'd take you 60 million days to pay that debt off. If you were rich, it'd take you 1,000 years to pay that debt off. That's the significance of the debt that God pays for each of us. He says, listen, you should lose your life and your freedom, but he gives us patience. The master has pity on him. He doesn't even require the payment plan, right? Now, you would think that if someone did that for you, you would leave, right? Change forever. You would leave totally different. Not so. The guy walks out the door. You know what the first thing he does? He reverts back to his old ways. He finds a fellow servant. They're equals. And he finds a guy like Miles, right? And you know, a couple of months ago, he let Miles borrow some money, okay? 100 denarii, which is about 3 months worth of wages. And he sees Miles. He's like, there's that no good Miles. He hasn't paid me back for that 100 denarii that he owes me. And listen, he doesn't even go up to talk to him. He goes up and he takes his hands and he starts to choke him like this. Give me my money back. Give me my money back. Give me my money back.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I forgot you have a bad back. Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay.
And so he starts to choke him. Choke the life out of him. Give me my money back. And the guy, you know what he does? He pleads for mercy. And he says, be patient with me. The same thing that the guy just did with the king. And you would think at that particular moment, it would wake him up. And he would say, oh yeah, I just had mercy shown to me. I just had grace in my life. Maybe I should give it to you. But no, he throws the guy in jail. And the rest of the servants, they're mad about it. So they call the king. The king is furious. They bring the guy back in front of the king. The king says to him this, you're just a wicked servant. You didn't get anything. So I tell you what, instead of showing you grace and mercy, I will take it back. Now you go in jail and you repay everything you owe me. Wow. You know what Jesus says? That's the way it is with my Father in heaven if we don't forgive our brothers from our hearts. So what do we take out of that? What do we take out of that about the relationship of grace in our lives? Let me give you 4 things to think about. Number one, God's grace calls you and I to be merciful, gracious, loving, and forgiving to others. When God's grace comes into our life, here's what happens. We become such a different person that what we become is grace-filled people, loving people, forgiving people. Right? Compassionate, merciful people filled with patience towards others. That's who we become. And that is what God calls us to be. In our life, in our ministry, in our families, in our jobs, wherever it may be. Our prayers that God, man, just make me into a person who can love people, be forgiving, compassionate. And you never ask the question, how long do I have to forgive someone? Because you're ready to forgive them today. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. And this is kind of scary. Grace can easily be forgotten. Grace can easily be forgotten. The guy left the presence of the king and he reverted back to his old ways. The danger of grace is that when you leave here right now, you leave here in about 30 minutes, is that you go back to this old self. And instead of being changed by grace, we go back to our old self that can be selfish and self-centered and unforgiving and unloving and impatient. And what happens to us is we forget in an instant the grace that God has given to us. And the danger of that is this. When we forget God's grace, and this is number three, grace can be removed. Never really thought of it this way. But what Jesus says is very clear. Is if we want to live life without grace, and we want to live life not forgiving people, and if we want to live life without showing mercy, God says eventually, you know what happens? I will take the grace that I have given you and I will remove it from your life. That's kind of scary, isn't it? I don't want that. I hope you don't want that either. So what do you do? It's simple. You never forget the grace given to you. Not just on Sundays, but every day of the week. Because here's the last thing. Here's something that I hope you get today. God's grace is absolutely more than you and I can ever comprehend. I can't get my head around 60 million days of work. I can't get my head around 1,000 years of paying back God. I can't get my head around the depth of my own personal sin that Jesus took away on the cross. And I hope neither can you. God's grace is so much bigger. It's so much greater. It's so much more powerful than you and I can ever comprehend. And the only way that we don't ignore it, forget it, or lose it is to stay in it every day. Every day. We live by it. We breathe it. We work in it. We serve in it. We rejoice in it. Every day we give thanks because it's absolutely more than I could ever possibly imagine. And I know for me, and I hope for you, this is true. I know for me, it's every day. It's just kind of taking a moment with Jesus. And saying this, I don't get why you love me so much. And I don't understand how you have been so good to me, even though I have been so unfaithful. And I don't get that despite all of my sin, you still love me. You still care for me. You still want me. I am so thankful. And so today, just help me. Help me to be an instrument of grace. Help me to forgive those who I need to forgive. Help me to be honest and open and loving and joyous. Help me to be what you want. Because I don't get it. I don't get it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, your grace is more than we can ever comprehend. It's so much bigger than us. It's so much greater than us. And when we're having a hard time forgiving someone, when we're having a difficult time showing grace, can you just remind us of what you've done for us? Can you remind us of why you went to that cross to die for us? Can you remind us of how much you love us? And may that be the inspiration. May that be the source of strength. May that move us in our own lives to be gracious people. To be loving people, to be people who are patient and kind and forgiving with others. We ask this in Jesus' name. We pray it by your grace. Let's stand and sing together.